Welcome back to Preps Today with John Millay, star of the show, as you know, John Millay with the MSHSL. We're going to get into all of the usual kind of topics we talk about here on this show. We also have a special guest I'm going to let John introduce here in a second. Reminder, we're sponsored by Pizza Barn in Princeton. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. And the best way to listen to this show or any show at TalkNorth.com, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen, and we do appreciate it. Also, our basketball show, John Krasinski, the host, is taking a group to Spain this year with Defined Destinations. Highly recommend that trip. DefinedDestinations.com. Look for the Taste of Spain trip. Sign up. You get to go hang out with John and see Spain. Highly recommend it again. All right, John, you introduce our guest, and we'll get on to our other topics.
You got it, Jim. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm happy to say we're talking to Bryce Tesdall, coach of the Class 4A. Boys basketball state championship team from Minnetonka. I've known Bryce since he was in high school. He's the grandson of the late, great Bob McDonald of Chisholm fame, the third generation from his family to coach at the boys state basketball tournament in Minnesota. Bryce, congratulations. It's been it's close to a week now since your team won that championship at Williams Arena. What's life been like since that night?
Well, it's been a little crazy via phone and just via person. And, you know, all people come out of the woodworks to congratulate you for my hometown and just through everywhere I've been. But, you know, just a lot of energy still around the school and the community and deservedly so for our team and our program.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. And I know it was kind of a family reunion Saturday night. Your Uncle Paul was there. He's at the whole tournament. He works with our officials for the high school league. I saw your Uncle Mike there out in the hallway, too. And I'm sure your mom and dad were there, probably a whole bunch of people. What was it, a big group of relatives? And how did the family celebrate?
You know, just always kind of a family reunion of sorts, yeah. Where, you know, it's a time where we can gather, whether if people are playing in it or not. And it's just a fun reunion that we get to look forward to every single year. And it just makes it that much better when obviously somebody's coaching in it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. For people who didn't follow along, Minnetonka defeated Wayzata 72-61 in the championship game. And that was a massive crowd at Williams Arena. I tweeted, maybe facetiously, maybe the biggest crowd there since Caitlin Clark was in town. But it was really fun, a great atmosphere. And referring to your grandpa, again, Bob McDonald, he passed away in 2020. He's the winningest boys basketball coach in Minnesota history. He won three state championships in Chisholm, 1973, 75, 91. For people who know the story, all six of Bob's kids coached, and three of his sons also coached teams at the boys state basketball tournament. Joel McDonald, 2021 from Hibbing. Mike McDonald, Cambridge Isanti, four times. He won a state title in South Dakota in 1985. Your uncle Tom in Ely took that team to state in 2001, and he won a South Dakota state title in 1990. So from your grandpa on down to you, that's three generations, two states, six state championships. And I think people probably know your cousins who also are head coaches, Rhett McDonald. He's been the head coach at Duluth East. He took them to state 3 years ago. That's Mike's son. Another of Mike's sons, Kyle, is the head coach of the boys team at Forest Lake. So as I tweeted Saturday night, 51 years after Bob McDonald's first state championship, one of his grandkids has joined him in that club. And this is one of the amazing things here, Bryce. Not only did your team lose to Wayzata twice this year in late conference games, Minnetonka had lost 19 in a row to Wayzata. And under those kind of circumstances, in that setting for the state championship, what did you do to prepare your team for that game?
Well, you can't change the previous 19, but you can change the 20th. And we kind of had that mindset that we just had to go 1-0 that day. And the 19 were the 19, and you can't change that result. But we had an opportunity at our hands that, you know, if we could get the 20th and not make it 20 on their end, that people maybe would forget a little bit about the 19 in a row previously. especially the 20th had a little more weight being a state title game. But we knew we didn't have to be perfect, but we'd have to be great. We made a couple of adjustments on the defensive end, and offensively, I thought we took care of the ball and worked for good shots. But it's just a credit to our guys to really put the pass in the pass and focus on the now. And we've really talked about the power of us, and it really powered us through to not only make the state title game, but to change that result and win that game. So just a true testament to our kids' work throughout the year, and really changing the result when it really mattered.
Yeah, it sure did. Tell us about some of those players. You had a nice mix of experienced kids and younger kids. Just talk about some of your players and kind of the roles they played this year.
Yeah, you know, we had seven guys that really played a lot of minutes for us, all juniors and seniors. We're kind of led by four-year varsity starters, Andy Stefanowicz, that's going to North Dakota State, and Jordan Kane. Those two have played for me for 4 years. And their first couple of years, we were kind of the bottom of the Lake Conference and middle of the road in 4A. And we were a definite work in progress, but you could kind of see light at the end of the tunnel. And we just kept talking about staying in that progress through the process. And they continued to buy in. And we added guys like Grayson Uleman, got older, Duke Richardson, Issa El-Amin. We had a Caden Wells that transferred back. He was a Minnetonka kid originally, and then COVID, his parents wanted him to stay in school instead of online school. So he went to Benilde and then came back for his senior year. Really good buddies with Andy and Grayson. But we had really just in Malachi Bodie, who's a junior, really filled a lot of good minutes and role. We just had guys that those group of seven, and the role players off of the bench was Zach Steingis, Al Voss, and Hamath Vangala, who are all seniors as well. Just they wanted to win, and a lot of guys and a lot of teams care about their statistics or how much you're scoring or maybe their individual stats. And this team really just bought into winning and wanting to play on that last day and have an opportunity to play for a state title. And for them to buy in and reap the reward of that buy-in is pretty special. And we had a special group of seniors, and now all these juniors and sophomores and freshmen that got to be a part of it as well, now have seen that process come alive through hard work and just putting the team first instead of themselves.
You bet. I think people who get lost in success stories like this are assistant coaches, and you've got some great assistants. Tell us about those people.
Yeah, you know, it really starts with our three varsity guys. Of Kyle Kalpa's been with me at two stops now, Eastridge, and Minnetonka's been with me all 7 years, and he has put in a lot of work. He's a younger guy, and just shows up to work every single day and wants to get better, and will do anything for the team, whether if it's scout or running the 10th NJV, while also trying to help out as much as he can in varsity. And then Mike Reimer and Dion Richardson have been with me as well. And Dion is Duke's dad, and Mike has a younger boy that's in seventh grade that's coming up through the program. So they're just really invested guys that have put a ton of time into preparing our student athletes, not only during the season, but during the off season as well. In June and July, when we get those days with the kids, they're showing up and they want to put in the work in. And we know that the goal is to compete for a state championship every single year. And that takes a lot of work, not only from the student athletes, but our coaches. We sacrifice a lot throughout the season and the off season to put yourselves and your program in a position to succeed. So, and then our ninth grade coaches, Charlie Dorn and Sam Forrester, again, they run their own programs, but they're so invested in the varsity program as well. So it's just, I can't say enough about those guys. You know, their dads and their husbands, a lot of them are at home, and they're sacrificing time just like I am here. And to have that, all of that hard work and time pay off is a special feeling.
Sure. After the championship game, you talked about your senior year of high school, when your team from Crosby Ironton was undefeated, and you lost the state championship game in 2A to New London Spicer. And you said that has motivated you as a coach and made you want to get back to high school coaching. And you talked to your team about that experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. Again, it was more about sharing my perspective more than me trying to live through them. Again, when you lose a game like that, you always want it back and it always sticks with you. But when you have a perspective from anybody that's been in their shoes, it kind of maybe motivates them and also provides them perspective that maybe others can't provide because they've never been in that situation, especially on the losing side of things. You know, winning usually takes care of a lot of things, but when you lose that, you kind of see the other side and makes you want it back. So again, I just wanted to make sure the kids kind of understood my perspective of it 16 years prior to when they were in that same situation.
Yeah. And I've talked about this on our podcast before. When I was a senior in high school, a very small school in Iowa, we were undefeated and did not remain undefeated in the state championship game. And that stays with you, and the memories are great. But when we get to state tournaments here in whatever sport, when a game ends, especially a close game down to the wire, I look at that team that did not win, and I know, and that those emotions, those feelings come right back. You know exactly. You know, I'm 65 years old. I remember what that was like when I was 18 years old, and I always have some empathy for those teams. But let's talk about seeding. Your team was seeded third. Wayzata was number one in 4A. And as I think most people know, coaches do electronic seeding. 1 through 5 are recognized, and then a blind draw is used to complete the bracket with the 3 non-seeds. This is the way it's been done here for quite a while. It's not perfect. I don't know that there's a perfect system. I think we're headed towards seeding 1 through 8. Volleyball already has been approved to do that next fall. And how do you feel about seeding and maybe the best way to do it, Bryce?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, I think seeding the 5 teams are usually cut and dry, those 4 and 5 and yeah. 6 seeds, maybe. There's some room for error, but a lot of teams that make the state tournament now play each other, whether if it's in conference or non-conference right. throughout the year. So you look at those head-to-heads and, you know, the random draw. I think if you go random draw through 1 through 8, people are still going to be upset of who yeah. they play maybe the first round. So it's an inexact science. And, you know, whether if you're 8 to the 1 through the 8 in the section or the state, I think you can throw out seeds a lot of times. You look at Egan in the Park Center game, and nobody give them a shot to beat Park Center, and they end up winning. It happens every year when you get to the state tournament that teams that are unseeded or seeded lose or win. So would you like to see 1 through 8? I mean, that would probably maybe relieve a couple of question marks, but at the end of the day, you still got to play the game, and the best team's going to win. And I think you can throw those numbers in front of the team name away a lot of the times when it comes to March basketball.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's talk about your family and the sport of basketball. Everybody knows this started with your grandpa and your mom, Sue. She's a McDonald. That's the connection. She's been a coach. Your dad, Neil, I know your dad pretty well. He's a longtime coach up at Crosby. Just talk about that family legacy. All you guys are teachers, you're educators, you're coaches. Did you ever think of doing anything else? I don't know if I've ever asked that question to you, but that seems like an obvious question. All you guys, 3 generations of teachers and coaches, was that like just ingrained in you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I had the decision to do other things if I wanted to, but sure. I never really thought about or wanted to do anything else. I was going to play yeah. basketball as long as I could in college. And, you know, obviously I wasn't good enough to turn pro. So I wanted to stay involved in the game just because I saw that's what my parents did. That's what my uncles and aunts and grandparents did. And the basketball thing is one thing, but the education is another. And you're just around kids every day. It just keeps you young, and the stories and those relationships that you get to build on a day-to-day basis, not only with your student athletes, but with your students. It just keeps you young and keeps you moving and keeps you motivated to show up the next day. And there's some long days in there, you know, with some wins and losses in the game of basketball, sure. or maybe some things that don't go your way education wise, but you know, it's a rewarding career. And you know, I wish more and more people would see that within their college process, just the rewards of the teaching and coaching profession. And it's just when you show up every single day, kids are excited to see you and they're excited to learn and excited to improve. And a lot of professions don't provide that setting or atmosphere on a daily basis. And when you get to when you get to a spot like Williams Arena in a state final game, I told our kids, I don't know where else you're going to get this environment on a daily basis in other realms of life. So it just can teach you so much and give you so much. And I didn't really think of any other profession I wanted to go to just because I saw how much it gave to my family on a day-to-day basis.
You bet. And as I said, you're a Crosby Ironton grad, a school with a really rich athletic tradition. If my memory's right, you graduated in 2008. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I was up there. That's when I interviewed you for the first time. And your brother, Brock, is he 2 years younger than you?
Yep.
That sounds right. Yeah. And I was doing a series of stories at the Star Tribune. There was a lot of issues with funding for athletics and activities. And at the time, Crosby Ironton was considering some really drastic changes. I don't think any of those ever came to fruition, but I think that's the first time I talked to you and enjoyed that. But your basketball coach, your head basketball coach in high school was Dave Galovich, Hall of Famer, your dad, longtime assistant coach to Galley. Tell us about the impact those two guys had on you.
Yeah, you know, just when you get to play not only for a program but for a coach like that has invested so much time into you, not only when you get to high school, but it all starts when you're in kindergarten and you're showing up for Saturday basketball. when the head coach of the high school program shows up and is actually giving you time as an elementary kid and all the way through, it just makes you want to work that much harder. And I think, you know, sometimes you see people just coach the high school program. And I was fortunate to be in a program, and my grandpa and my uncles have ran. My mom was the same way, ran it the same way with their youth program. And I think that's where it all starts. It doesn't matter how big of a school you are. I mean, we try to do the same thing at Minnetonka, and it's huge compared to Crosby or Chisholm or Ely or wherever it may be. You know, you can work with those kids at a young age. And now that not only they get to work with you, but your high school student athletes, and they just buy in that much more. The family buys in more. The kids are more energized and invested into what you got going on, and they just want to show up. So I think that's where kind of my grandpa and Galovich and my dad have just succeeded at being high school mentors and coaches. They just start so young, and they work with you all the way through. And they're not interested in you; they're invested in you. They know you're the next. They're going to eventually be there in working with them. So I think that's the big thing that people miss or skip. You get so tied into the now of your basketball program, which you need to obviously do to be successful now. But I think you're always planning 5 to 10 to 15 years ahead, because if you don't, those kids are less interested, and they might go to other sports, or they might not even try your sport. So it was just cool to see that from a firsthand as a player, and now try to do that, try to repeat that same process now as a coach at the high school level at the high schools I've been. And it's a cool process. It's a rewarding process, and it works. No person that invests in their youth program is going to regret that. So that's the thing that I remember the most, and that's probably why Mr. Galovich and Coach Galovich has seen so much success over his career.
Yeah, I can't even remember how many veteran coaches I've talked to. Tell me about the, you know, we got this fifth grader who I'm really excited about, or the sixth grade. You know, they keep an eye on those things, and you're right, you have to do that for long term success. Let's go back to your personal, your career here after high school. You had a great basketball career at Bemidji State, and then, you know, your coaching career started at Minnesota Duluth, right? You were an assistant there.
Yep, I was there for 3 years as an assistant on the men's side.
There you go. That's great experience. Then you came to New Prague. Correct me if any of this is wrong. Head coach at New Prague, then head coach at Eastridge, and now Minnetonka since 2019. If that's correct,
that is correct.
You took Eastridge to state in 2019, and Minnetonka State last year. Again, am I correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't new to you, the state tournament. What have you learned about playing at the state tournament now with these previous experiences?
Well, it's hard to get there and it's hard to win there. This is the first time that obviously I've won a state championship, but this is also the first time that I've had a winning record in the state tournament as well. There's a reason why teams are there. And this was the first time that we've played our best basketball and probably the most healthiest we've been since showing up there the previous two times with the team. And, you know, I think it's as you kind of look back, I've been doing this for 9 years and we've had a ton of success, a ton of great student athletes and families and assistant coaches that have helped me along the way at those three programs. But when you think about when you get to that last week in the season, I think you just got to also find the balance of enjoying it and also trying to win it. And maybe my previous two times that I've been there with East Ridge and Minnetonka, I tried to win it too much and not enjoy the process of that state tournament week and just put too much pressure on it. And last week, at the state tournament, I just had a great balance of connecting with our student athletes, really enjoying every step of the process, the bus rides, the shoot arounds, the team meals, and just kind of soaked it all in for once. And there was pressure to win, obviously. I thought we were good enough to win it, but I just really tried to soak up every minute while also preparing our guys at the highest level to win those basketball games.
Well, you did a great job. I'm going to go back to your grandpa. Everything when I'm writing about any of you guys in your family, I start with your grandpa because I knew him well. And you talk about coaches with the little kids. There were a couple times I went to Friday night games in Chisholm and then spent the night up there and then went to your grandpa's Saturday morning kids clinics. And boy, if that wasn't a riot. You know, how many kids in Chisholm spent every Saturday morning with Bob McDonald in that fantastic little gym? That I have just so many great memories of there. And I know your grandpa also, with all your grandkids, when you're all there, he would haul all your little butts to the gym and you guys would have the best time. He told me stories about that. What kind of memories do you have of being in that gym with your grandpa?
Yeah, and not every grandparent's a celebrity, and it felt like you were with a celebrity every time that you were with him, especially in the Chisholm area. It was just you just tried to soak up every minute, whether if he was talking basketball or the World Wars, or he just had so much knowledge on just basketball and non-basketball stuff and the experiences that he had. In his later years, when I went up and visited him, we would talk basketball, but we'd also just talk life and just to get all of his experiences, through his own life, which again, starting out wasn't easy. He went through some adversity and challenges in his own life, but, through those, his life experiences really just gave me a ton of perspective of life's never going to be easy. It's never going to be given to you. And it's the same thing on the basketball court. And, I just really, you miss those conversations nowadays just because, you know, you wish he could have saw and been there on Saturday night just because he'd be so proud of all the work and time that has put into the program and winning. But I think he'd be more proud of just how a lot of us have grown up and grown men and in the education profession and the coaching profession. And now a lot of us grandchildren are have our own families. So I think he'd be obviously proud of who we are as coaches and educators, but just kind of following his lead as just leaders in the community as well.
Yeah, for sure. Here, this is an off the wall question. Do you own a beagle?
We do. Yep. We have one Griffey that's five. So that's kind of a non-negotiable dog on my mom's side.
Your dad told me stories about beagles forever. And for people who don't know, Bob McDonald wrote this great book later in life. And I've got an autographed copy and it's a special thing for me. And it's not just about him. It's not just about basketball. It's kind of a history of the Iron Range. It's kind of the history of Minnesota. It's kind of a history of this country. He was a historian. It's really great. If you can find that book, it's fantastic. And knowing your grandpa as well as I did, and knowing how proud he was of his family, I tweeted just seconds after your team won the game Saturday night, I tweeted a really brief sentence. It said, Bob McDonald is beaming. Because that's the feeling I had. How proud is Bob? I know he was watching. I know he was beaming with pride. So congratulations again on what your team accomplished, Bryce. It was really special. And I asked this question to a lot of people. I asked people to move ahead 10 or 20 years. And what do you think you'll remember from this experience this season? You know, if you can spin the crystal ball ahead, what do you think will stand out from all of this, everything that you've experienced here?
Yeah, I think just the group that we had. It was the most enjoyable group that I've had from start to finish of a season. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong and awry in a basketball season just because it's so long and everybody's caught up in the highlights and their own statistics and what they have going on and individually. And this group of kids and families and community just really rallied around each other in the result of winning. And, you know, I've been only doing this for 9 years on the high school side and 3 for the college. You don't always get those groups that are just, that just give everything and sacrifice themselves towards that result of winning. And, not only was winning fun, but just being around this group was really fun. Whether if it was a team meal or a practice or, a shoot around, they made it fun to be around on a daily basis. And I think the relationships that they have, amongst each other, whether if it was a younger kid that was just a part of the team and got to witness it on the bench, or one of the starters that played a lot of minute for us, everybody was connected and everybody respected the process and each other. And we're going to have these relationships and these memories for a long, long time. And this is a group where in 5 to 10 years, in 20 to 30 years, that you're just going to want to be around to have dinner when they're in town, go to their weddings and just see all the landmarks of their lives, just because it was just a great group of kids provided memories not only for themselves but the community and our basketball program forever.
Yeah, you bet. I was talking to Spencer Tollickson at the tournament 20 years ago when he was at Chaska. They won a state championship, and he was telling me about the reunion they just had and how much fun that was. So in 20 years, you're going to get together with these kids. It's going to be fantastic. So, Jim, have you got any questions for Bryce before we let him go?
Honestly, I think you covered everything I could have. And you know the you know the scene better than I do. You know Bryce better than I do. I would not interject. I think you did a great job of the interview.
Good. Well, hey, Bryce, we're going to let you go. Thanks again for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your life. And congratulations again, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. And congratulations again, Bryce. Thank you. Yep.
Thanks, guys. Bryce. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yep, bye now.
See you later.
All right, John. Let's get to, first of all, thanks for lining up Bryce. Great guest. Great get. I appreciate it. Fantastic stuff. We'll get to the rest of the show here in a second. But first, tell us about what's going on at Pizza Barn.
Yeah, we are almost at the end of March here. We've got days, maybe hours. So if you hurry before March is gone, you can still get the Pizza Barn Pizza of the Month up there in downtown Princeton. It's the classic Reuben pizza made with house-made crust, Thousand Island, tender corned beef that spends hours in the pizza oven. I like that. They throw on some sauerkraut, some Swiss and mozzarella, a little black pepper. You can get that for dine-in, take-and-bake, delivery all month long, and there is not much left of March, like I said. And a reminder, the March appetizer of the month is waffle fries with seasoned sour cream. That seasoned sour cream made in-house by Chef Shorty. And as we get here to April, we're excited. We're going to see what the newest pizza of the month is. It's one of the many great things going on at the Pizza Barn in downtown Princeton. It's a great community-oriented business. They do so many things in Princeton and the area. So way to go, Pizza Barn. Thanks to everybody up there, our friend Jody Stay, and the whole crew at the Pizza Barn in Princeton.
Yes, thank you, Jody. Again, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, and let's get on to a special anniversary.
Yep, excuse me, Jim. I coughed over you there.
It's okay.
I write something every day from the state tournaments. And the final day of the boys' state basketball tournament, I posted a John's Journal story. This has been something I've thought about for 5 years. Back in 2019, the Class A state championship boys basketball team was from Henning. A real emotional story. One of their teammates, Jacob Quam, had died in a traffic accident. So they dedicated everything they did to Jacob. This team had Jacob's number 33 jersey with them on the bench, on the bus rides, at practice. And this last weekend was the fifth anniversary of that emotional time. And I was sitting courtside at Williams Arena during the first game, and I texted Randy Misogatis. He's the Henning coach then and now. I just asked him, are you at Williams Arena? And he was. And a little later in the day, we just kind of went out around a corner in the corridor at Williams Arena, had a nice chat. And he kind of caught me up with everything, you know, how that team, all those guys, even though they're kind of spread across the country, they stay close. They were just home in March for a reunion and had a great time. And then I called Angie Quam, Jacob's mom, who I talked to 5 years ago. She's so strong and just a great lady. So while the arena was quiet between the two sessions Saturday, I spent 15 or 20 minutes on the phone with her. And she's just so proud of these kids. She was worried when her son died that he would be forgotten. And that's not even close to what's happened. Those kids kept Jacob with them all the way through the state championship. They held up his jersey, you know, in the celebration at Target Center. And all those kids are really close to Jacob's mom. They send her cards and flowers on Mother's Day. They visit her. And as she told me, I don't have my own son, but I have everybody else's. I mean, that's powerful. And people who read that, I heard back from people who told me they had tears in their eyes reading that. And I can tell them I have tears in my eyes writing it. These stories that go beyond winning and losing, and that's what Randy told me. He said, you know, we know what's important with high school activities and kids. It's not winning. It's not losing. It's these relationships. It's surviving. It's taking care of each other. So if anybody wants to read that at mshsl.org, just scroll down to John's journal, and you can find that story about the Henning Hornets.
Excellent. Excellent work as always. Let's move on to spring sports.
Yeah, we're here. It's springtime. It's not right now, at least, you know, like from the Twin Cities north, I think there's snow on the ground. I was down in southern Minnesota yesterday. From the Twin Cities, before I got to Faribault, the snow was gone. So in the southern part of the state, it's wet, but it's going to be okay. But the blessing is before this latest round of snow, we had the greatest late winter, early spring ever. So all these teams have been outside much earlier than most years. So, but we're in kind of a little lull now. It's Easter week. Things are pretty quiet. We're gonna ramp back up right away once we get back into some warmer weather. So I'm looking at schedules for track meets and baseball and softball, you name it. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good spring, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Good deal. Let us thank a band. We should always thank a band.
We always should thank a band. This one was kind of neat. This is from the boys state basketball tournament. I think it was the Class 2A semifinals. It was a session where Lake City was playing the second game. And the game before theirs, neither of the teams was able to bring a band. I think spring break was a factor. So there's a game going on. There's no bands there from the competing schools. But the band from Lake City was there early. So what did they do? They went to their spots in the arena and they just played like their team was on the court. It was really cool. They didn't have to do that. They could have just hung out and relaxed. But boy, they got basically a full game rehearsal in before they played during their team's game. So good on the band from Lake City.
I love it. That's great stuff. Yeah. Let's wrap up today's show with Most Valuable Teammate. Reminder, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Jody Stay and Pizza Barn in Princeton again. It's not that far out of the Twin Cities. If you're up there in the Northwest Corridor, just go visit. You will not regret it. Great food, great people, great community institution. And thanks to John for doing all the great work. You can read John's written work at John's Journal at mshsl.org. All right, let's get on to Most Valuable Teammate.
Yeah, this week's Most Valuable Teammate, we're proud to honor Matthew Squires. He's a senior at Tri-City United, plays football and basketball. He's the epitome of a true leader and great teammate. He's a very successful student athlete, a very supportive teammate. Matthew has always been a leader by example who consistently works hard and expects the same from his teammate. He gives 100%, works hard all the time, and represents his school in a very, very positive manner. Congratulations to Matthew Squires of Tri-City United on being a most valuable teammate.
Great show, John. Thanks for lining up Bryce. That was a blast. So have a good weekend and enjoy the incoming better weather.
You got it. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, John.